For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2011 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, July the 4th, 2011. Jesse and Tara Berkey are the speakers of this service, sharing their personal testimony of family restoration.
I think that most of you were probably here last night. So let me say again, my name is Jesse Berkey, and this is my wife, Kara. And we have felt like it's very important for us to, whenever we minister, whenever God calls us to go anywhere, that we do it as a team. So anytime that you're going to be hearing from us, from one of us, it's going to be really, you're going to be hearing from both of us. We're both going to be up here for every time, and we just feel like God, that is what God is doing with us, to present us as a unified team, as a couple, as we go out and we minister and just share what God gives us to share. So I just wanted to establish that, in case you're wondering, which one's going to be sharing it? It's going to be both of us. So we're so excited to be here. I've been so looking forward to coming here and having the opportunity to talk about Jesus. I love to talk about Jesus, and I feel good, and I don't think it's the 10 cups of coffee that I had this morning. I'm going to proclaim that it's the Holy Spirit that I'm feeling here. So, you know, coffee's good, but, you know, we're going to go with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I'm really excited to have this, too. I think that's really cool, because I use my hands a lot. It's hard to use your hands when you have a handheld mic, because it's over here, and I'm talking over here, and so I don't have to deal with that. And there's nothing to trip over up here either, so I can walk as I want to walk. Well, unless I run into the podium there. I'm kind of hoping that won't happen. That might be a little embarrassing. But Father, we thank you for this opportunity just to share whatever it is that you have given us and have given us to come here and share. And we ask for you to speak through us, and we want to put to death right now in the name of Jesus any bit of the flesh that might try to get involved. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint the words that come forth to be your words and not our words. And we ask that every heart be ready to receive, and our hearts be ready to receive from you, that we incline our ears to you. I've been seeing that a lot in the Word lately. We incline our ears to you to be able to hear clearly what it is that you want to speak to our hearts and everybody's hearts. In Jesus' name.
I'm a little more comfortable here, so if he's like walking back and forth in front of me, that's fine. God laid it on my heart. I'll be speaking twice, and he'll be speaking twice, but like he said, we'll both be up here together just kind of at the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times when he's speaking, God will lay something on my heart to share during that time too. But technically, I guess this would be one of my times, but what God laid on my heart to you during this time is I feel like it's so important for you guys to know who we are and where we've been. And Patty shared just briefly about that, but we just kind of wanted to share that with you and just let you know who we are and a little bit of our testimony so that everything else makes sense that we speak about throughout the week. So I'm just going to share a little bit about myself. I was raised in a fairly traditional Baptist home, and for the women that were here in February, you've heard some of this, but we'll probably go into a little more depth today. So I was raised in a Baptist home, you know, pretty typical. You go to church Sunday twice, Wednesday night, you know, all of those things. You do your daily devotional every day, you know, 5 minutes a day, whatever it is, and like that. So I had that kind of foundation. I had a head knowledge of who the Lord was, but it hadn't really gotten to my heart, like Jerry was talking about last night. So I went along my life, la-di-da, and in high school, I got into some trouble. I sought my validation in guys and in friends and wherever I could seek it, because I didn't have it from God. I didn't know that I had it from God because it had not gotten to my heart. So I got into some trouble, like I said, some partying. I lost my virginity when I was very young. Probably by the age of 17, I was kind of done with that. I started asking God, bring my husband to me because I'm over it. I'm over all of the nonsense of it. And actually, he did. He brought Jesse when I was 18 years old, and we got married when I was 19, which was awesome. But again, I didn't have a sense of validation from the Lord. So then it was Jesse. I sought my validation from Jesse. And no person, no physical person can give you the type of validation that you need, that you can only get from the Lord. So when I was seeking it from him, he's an imperfect person, and he let me down. And I, of course, let myself down, and everybody around me let me down. So I continued seeking my validation in other areas. I guess this is going to be the short version because I'm just being led by the Spirit and what he has me say. So during that time, Jesse had some struggles of his own that he can share. But through that, there was just some things that were happening to me. And I began to pray because at that time he was not the spiritual head of the household, nor was I really. I was doing my 5-minute devotions. But I prayed that God would raise him up as the head of the house. I didn't really know what I was praying. What I thought I was praying was that he would spend some time in the Word every day, maybe lead our family in some prayer, something like that, something simple. But actually what God did in his life is totally, totally transform him. And like I said, I was raised in a Baptist home. So I wasn't aware of the gifts of the Spirit, deliverance, none of it. It was all crazy to me, really. And so God actually, he got his hands through a lady at the church we were attending at that time on some, was it CDs?
Yeah, it was Encountering Jesus CDs.
Encountering Jesus CDs. And God just totally transformed him through this and took him on this journey of just deliverance and healing and sanctification and all these things. And I'm like, that's not what I was talking about. I was not ready for all of that. So at this point, I'm like looking at him thinking, what in the world just happened to my husband? This is not what I wanted. I wanted him to just lead me in prayer, read his Bible. And so I got really, really freaked out during that time. And during that time, I kind of came to a fork in the road, and God said, you can either go this direction or this direction. I, at that time, didn't even know that I could hear the voice of God, but looking back, I know that's where I was at. So I looked at him, and I'm like, I'm not ready for that. And at that time, you know, Satan is going to bring schemes. Anytime there's a little bit of an open door, anytime your guard is let down in any sort of way, and because I didn't have a heart knowledge of who the Lord was, it was easy. It was an easy scheme. So Satan brought in to my life a scheme of adultery. And unfortunately, during that time, there was a lot of things. I had a lot of judgmentalism, a lot of pride. He had placed me on a pedestal because he had his issues, and at the time, seemingly, I didn't. But obviously, I did. And I did. I fell to that scheme of adultery. I was pretty wrecked, like we were talking about the pit last night. I was in the pit. And finally realized that I was in this pit, that I had fallen to the very thing that I had always said I would never in a million years fall to. Me. No, never. You know, I can see how somebody else might, but I would not. And I did. During that time, though, God used that time in my life to bring me to a place of just total repentance, total turning away, not just from that, but just a real looking at my life and saying, what do I want? And I had to make some decisions. I spent about 6 months fighting with God about whether or not I needed to confess to him. The affair went on for, you know, a pretty short period of time. But when I came to that place of repentance, I began asking the Lord, do I really have to tell him or not? Isn't it enough that I would just confess to you? And God said, that could be. That could be enough for you. You can move forward and go on about your life, and he would never know. But for one thing, my relationship with the Lord would have not gone further. My relationship with him would not have gone further. I would have just totally put a wall up, and I couldn't progress. I mean, I think there's sometimes the Lord asks us to do certain things, steps of obedience to take in order to gain a deeper level of intimacy with him and then with others. So that's what happened, this back and forth fight. You know, I heard somebody say earlier, angel on this side, demon on this side, you know, battling back and forth, you know, telling you, you need to do this, no, you need to do this. And so I had that. Finally, I began to pray that God would confirm what I was to do once and for all. And I asked him, I put my fleece out there and I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do that, but I need you to make it 100% clear. So I was spending some time downstairs watching trashy TV, and Jesse was upstairs praying, and came down and asked me to stand up and turn off the TV. So I did. And he said, he just looked at me and said, God wants me to tell you that it's time. I'm like, he didn't know what he was talking about, obviously, but God had given him the spirit or the gift of prophecy and discernment and some other things by that time. And I was just kind of, I had to hold it together emotionally because he didn't know what he was saying. So I just kind of took that in and I sought some counsel from a good mentor friend of his in a deliverance ministry near us. I finally, for the first time, went through deliverance, actually, in that same period of time. He had been talking to me for, I don't know, a year about, you really should do this, you really should do this, and I'm thinking, no, that's crazy, I'm not gonna, you know, a Christian can't have a demon, and I'm a Christian, so I don't need that. So finally I went, I'm at my pit, I realized I need this, and I went in, and a lot of schemes and different things in my life were exposed. I dealt with a lot of past hurts, generational curses, all the things that you all know some things about. And during that time is when I made the decision. And about a week later, I confessed to Jesse, and that same mentor friend of his came over and kind of walked us through it and was there with us, just kind of as the Holy Spirit led, but ended up actually the Holy Spirit led him to leave, and it was just Jesse and I. Am, you know, kind of fearing for my life, not that he'd ever hurt me, but it's like I didn't know what was going to happen from there. And God just really intervened, the Holy Spirit intervened. I'll let him talk a little bit about that too, but restoration happened that night, began to happen that night. That night he chose to forgive me, but it was a choice. It was a choice that he made. It was a choice that I made to confess to him and to repent to God. Then it was a choice that he made to forgive. But like I said, it was a choice. It was the first step. From that point forward, he had to walk that journey of bitterness and unforgiveness and all these ugly things that come along with something like this. And I had to walk the road of unforgiveness for myself and self-hate and self-blame and all of these other things. So that's kind of where we were at that point. I'll let you share whatever you feel led to share now.
Okay. No, I don't need that. I got this. I never thought that I would ever, that the Lord would ever have me walk and operate in this capacity and standing up in front of people and talking to them. My dad, a pastor for 20 years, and I said, I don't want to do that. I see what you're doing, and I choose something else. And here I am. So, you know, thank you, Lord, for that. And awakening a passion in my heart to share what the Lord has shown us and done in my heart and share our journey. My testimony starts out when I was a kid. I grew up in a Christian home. Like I said, my dad was a pastor, and he came from a Mennonite background, and my mom came from a Baptist background, so it wasn't like we didn't hear about God in our home or Jesus in our home. I didn't hear a lot about the Holy Spirit and things of that nature in my home. There wasn't a lot of preaching, but there also wasn't a lot of preaching done against it either. It was just kind of neutral. Nobody ever condemned it, but at the same time, nobody ever taught us about it. And so I grew up with a knowledge, I grew up with a head knowledge, and I caught glimpses of what a real relationship was along the way. But I didn't have anything that had stuck in me. In retrospect, it's because of all the generational stuff that was there that we didn't know about. I don't know about that stuff. That was, you know, who knows about that? Who knew about that stuff back then? I'm not even that old. You know? I didn't know about that stuff back then. I think about the children that are coming up today and how deliverance and the things along that path are being made known so much more today, and just how further along they are than I was when I was a kid. And, you know, I was behind the eight ball. We're trying to teach our kids so they can be ahead of the eight ball, you know, so they have a better chance of dealing with some of these things. When I was about 14, 15, I got involved in a community youth group, and it was a place where a bunch of different kids came together from a whole bunch of different churches, and it had more of a non-denominational feel to it, where the gifts of the Spirit were encouraged, and they were taught. And I remember one night, this man came, the minister from Alabama, Pastor Brett was his name, actually. I remember that. It was an important night for me. And he was operating in the prophetic, and I had never seen that before, and I didn't really know what that was. And I said, I want that. I feel like, you know, the Lord began to awaken something in my spirit for that. And so I asked him, I told him, I said, I feel like I want the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues. And he prayed over me, and it was from that time, you know, the Lord gives us gifts and he plants the seeds in us, but it's in his timing when he begins to unlock those things. And he begins to wake us up to those things. And that night there was, the seed was watered. And it began to birth. It began to give birth to something in my heart. It stayed pretty much there. I began to operate in the prophetic, and I began to minister to people and began to pray over other kids. Around, we had a youth-led, it was a youth-led group that came together for the most part. And we had some adult leaders that were there too. But I began to pray over some people and began to operate in the things of the Spirit. Did some things wrong, did some things right. Kind of a mix there. And learn some things. The problem for me, the big problem for me, was that my identity was never solidified in being a child of God. I didn't have that in my heart. I looked to other things for my validation. I knew about God. I knew that someone asked me if Jesus loved me. Yeah, Jesus loves me and God loves me. I know that. You don't have to tell me that. I know that. I didn't know it. I didn't know it in my spirit. There was a blockage there. There was an intellectual head knowledge, but it wasn't in my heart. I didn't feel, not to say that we are always going to feel the love of God. Sometimes we have to rely on it and trust in it. But I didn't have any of those things. I didn't know what any of those things were. So when I was about 14 years old, as I walked down the path of self-validation and getting my... I was very competitive. I was very driven. I wanted to be the best at everything, which led to some painful things in my life, because I can't be the best at everything. Can we really be the best at one thing? I don't even know. We're just doing the best that we can. And so I had experienced some failures up until then. And so on my quest to gain validation and approval, at about 14 years old, I think, was the first time that I looked at pornography. And really walked into some bondage at 14 years old. It doesn't get better if you just expect it to go away sometime. So it began to get worse and began to become a more frequent thing. And so I carried that. I carried that bondage for probably 12 years. I dealt with that thing. And along the way, I actually began to accept and get comfortable with the idea that this was going to be something that I would deal with for the rest of my life. That I wouldn't ever be totally free, because I remember nights in my bed where I laid and I said, I want to be free of this thing. But it was just a cycle. I crying out to God, crying out to Him, asking Him to take this thing away, and it just never happened for me. I didn't know the enemy. I didn't know who my battle was really against. I was just laying there saying words, and really, the enemy was just standing there laughing at me. I said, do you think that this is the way? Do you think this is going to have to get, how you're going to get free? You're not even taking authority over me. You're not even, you know, your heart's not even really repentant. I didn't have any idea what the spirit of repentance was. I didn't know that. I was out to gain approval and validation for myself. And when that's in operation, you can't be repentant, really. Because if you're repentant, I mean, because you're always trying to grab and get everything that you can from people, even in every relationship that you have. And so, as time went on, you know, I met Kara, and we got married, and went through some more trials, and that even... Oh, things got easier. Everything was okay once I married Kara. Well, about a year into our marriage, there was a scheme against my family, my parents and one of my sisters. And I've had very limited contact with my younger sister for probably a good 10 years. And through that, the enemy drove a wedge of division between me and my parents. I didn't speak to them for probably 2-3 years. So that was a hardship that the enemy brought in. When I was about 18 years old, because of the pain that I had gone through, because of the times that people had hurt me, I had made the decision that emotions were a terrible thing. I wasn't going to feel anymore. I made the decision at 18 years old that I wasn't going to feel anymore. And when you make vows like that, it has a funny way of happening. So I didn't feel for a good 8 to 10 years. Anger, I was pretty good at displaying anger. You know, most of us can show anger pretty well. But beyond that, I was pretty closed off. My heart was pretty hard. I got into gambling. The enemy would relent from pornography and bring in gambling. If any of you have experienced addiction, it's a pattern that you think you've overcome one thing, but really the enemy just brings in another thing to fill that void. And then when you feel like you've overcome that, he brings back the previous thing. And that can be anything. I mean, there's so many addictions out there. But those were the two main things that I had struggled with. And couldn't get free. About 5 years ago, in the mix, our children were born. And you know, we have two wonderful kids. And looking back, you can imagine the way that my heart was, and Kara didn't know anything about this deliverance stuff or anything like that either. So we were raising our kids out of the hurts and wounds that we had. So for the first 3 years, 3.5 years of my son's life, he was exposed to all the bondage and all the woundings that I had, which really, fear was a huge thing. Fear was heavy in my heart. I had a stronghold of fear, doubt and unbelief, fear of failure, fear of rejection, all of those things. So it began to manifest in him. He was having nightmares. He couldn't sleep. And he was afraid to step out in anything that he wanted to do. So I began to see that in my son as well. About 5 years ago is when the Lord shook me awake out of my lukewarm, probably even cold, existence. And I appreciate the word last night that God prepares us for our future. Way back in that community youth group, I was exposed to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the way that the Holy Spirit is designed to move, not always in the right way, but you know, I got glimpses of real power of the Holy Spirit and what God wanted to do in people and how God wants to use people to set people free, to minister into the broken hearts, to repair the broken hearts, to give hope to the hopeless. And the passion burning on my heart about 5 years ago was, I want that again. I want that in my life again. I've lived now, at that point, for 10 years without, or 11 years without any of that. I went to college in the meantime, a lot of life changes, a lot of things happened. And I was miserable in my existence. Hurting the people around me constantly. It was terrible. And so that passion began to burn in my heart again. I said, I want that again. I don't know what that was. I don't even really understand that back there. But I know that it was better than what I'm dealing with now. So we were being involved in a small group at that time. I began to tell the people there, some person asked, you know, what do we want the Lord to do in us and through us during this time? And I said, I want to get back to where that was. I want to go back to that time. Well, you know, the Lord always moves us forward. So what I was really wanting the Lord was to just grab that and bring it up with me where I was. Yeah? And so, like Kara said, I got a hold through a divine appointment, a woman in the church that we were going to, and she gave me Mike Bickle's CD series, Encountering Jesus. And there's just a lot of amazing testimonies on those discs. And the power of the Lord is revealed in those discs, and the love of God is revealed in those discs. And I was listening to the one of the discs. I had a pool business at the time, and I had pulled into the parking lot of one of my clients, and I was listening to that disc, and all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit fell on me, and I started to shake. Blessed I was, that I was in the parking lot, because I don't know how I would handle it if I was driving down the interstate, and then they're shaking, I can't stand still, and my first thought was that there was a chlorine leak in the back, and you know the chemicals were getting to me, and so I opened the door and I went back there, and No, I didn't sell anything. So I had, going through that feeling that the presence of the Holy Spirit falling on me in that way, the Lord began just to pound my heart. You know, my heart was going 5,000 beats a second or a minute. And I changed that to a minute, like that's even possible. They're both impossible, anyway. So the Lord began to speak to my heart, and right then and there I knew that I was being commissioned for something. Not just me, but both of us were being called to something greater, and that something powerful was happening, though I didn't understand what it was, I didn't have any idea what it was, I didn't have a clue, but something happened right there. And I called Kara, I said, I don't know what happened, I don't know what the Lord is going to do, I don't know if we're going to be moving anywhere. I don't know why I said that, that's probably
crazy.
But I know that the Lord has just called us to something, and I didn't know what. That was the day that my heart was set afire for the Lord. And, you know, me being a very extreme person and driven person, you know, I went from no devotional time, I went from no time in the Word to an hour every morning, fasting 3 days a week, you know, journaling, you know, whatever, you know, which is all well and fine, unless it's a religious activity, which is what it became for me down the road. But it was good in the beginning, I know that. It had purpose in my life. And the Lord taught me many things through that, and He began to take me through different seasons. And the first season He took me into was back into the prophetic. And I'd been away from it so long that He began to have me reach out in little small ways and began to get me comfortable in practicing hearing the voice of the Lord, and asked me to step out in a couple different ways that were faith building and confidence building exercises that He had brought me through, and blessed people through that and blessed me through that. And the next season was a healing, season of healing. And there's a couple of interesting testimonies in that. One of them really makes me look bad. Yeah. I'll share that one, because that's a good testimony. I'll share that one. I can't not share it now. I already, you know, built you all up on that one. We had what kind of dog was that?
Maltese.
I should remember what kind of dog that was. A Maltese. And we got her when she was a puppy, and she would not stop peeing and pooping on the floor. Constantly. And in her cage. Every morning it seems like we have to wake up and bathe that dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah. Really, really annoying. And whenever she would do that, I would clean up and just, you know, put her outside. And one night we came home from whatever we were doing, and she had done it again. And I grabbed her, and I opened the door, and I, you know, outside, a little bit further and a little bit higher than I meant to. And dog hit the ground and didn't move. And so I did what anybody would do. I shut the light off and closed the door and went back in my room. I actually did that. But then I about a second later, I went back and turned the light on. I said, no, I can't do that. I panicked. So I went back out there and I looked at the dog, and she was laying there, and she was dying, and she was breathing maybe 4 times a minute. And I went, called the vet, and the vet said, don't even bother bringing her in. You know, just get ready to bury her. Yeah, thanks a lot. You know, click. That's great encouragement. And then Kara comes outside, and she's, you know, upset, understandably. And so we're both looking at the dog. I don't really know what to do. And then I hear the Holy Spirit say, take the dog, take it inside, and lay it on the bed. And so I did that. I didn't know what I was going to do next, but I picked up the dog and totally limp. You know, no, I don't even think she was breathing at that point. So went inside, laid her on the bed. And I heard the Lord say, pray for her, pray for the dog. And before, well, he said, what he really said was repent and then pray for the dog. So, I said, Lord, you know, I just acknowledge that the Lord cares about the big things and He cares about the small things. You know, anything that we care about, the heart of God is for what we care about. You know, He may not give us the things that we're asking for at the time because He knows what's best for us in our lives. He cares deeply and desperately for the things that are important to us. He cares so much for us. That's His heart. That's His love for us. And so I repented, and I repented for the rage that I had and the bitterness that I had displayed and the anger. And I repented of that, and then I laid my hands on the bottom half, the top half of the dog, and I asked the Lord to heal. And as soon as I asked the Lord to heal the dog, she lifted up her head and started crawling across the bed with just her front paws. And I'm like, oh.
This is from like a completely limp state. So we're like, what just happened?
So then I heard the Lord say, lay your hands on the bottom half of the dog. So I did that. And as soon as I asked the Lord to heal the dog, she stood up on the bed, jumped off the bed, and ran into the other room. And I'm just... Yeah, what just happened? That's what I was in. What? And Kara's standing there.
I still had no experience with healing or anything, so I'm just, like, not even believing it, almost.
And I said,
my dog better be alive in the morning. It's one of these crazy nerve things where it just gets up and moves around before it dies.
Yeah, she said that, and then I ran out to the living room based on that and grabbed the dog. I pray for complete healing in Jesus' name. good times. And then I left the house. I had to go drive around for a while and just allow the Lord to minister what exactly just happened to me in that time. So you know, this was within a healing season of healing for me. And then the Lord took me into a season of deliverance. I sought out somebody else in the area who operated in the prophetic, just happened to be somebody who had a deliverance ministry, divine appointments, right? And so he began to speak to me about deliverance, invited me to a conference that he was doing. This ministry's name is Operation Light Force, and I went, actually took my whole family to the conference. And I'm not doing this alone, you come with me. Come with me. And so we went there, and our eyes began to be open to the enemy, who the real enemy is, and who the real enemy that held us in bondage was, and how to defeat that enemy. And I made an appointment, because I needed it. And so I went in, and I had this hard heart. I had this hard heart that I couldn't feel anymore. And I believe it was the second appointment that I went in there. And one of the ministers was asking me, are you angry? I said, no! Not angry! Why would you say that? Well, because when I was asking you what your sister had done, your tone of voice and your posture got all tensed up. Oh, well, maybe I am angry. I was angry. And the other minister led me through a prayer, and he said to me, I want you to begin to forgive your family, your sister in particular. And I got to a place in that prayer where I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, I want you to say that you love her. I couldn't say it because the emotion had already started to build up in me so deeply that it took everything that I had to get those words out. And I didn't... It was scaring me, the emotion that was building up, because I hadn't felt that before. Even that intensity of emotion. You know, a lot of men, you know, men get the stereotype that it's hard for them to feel emotion. You know, men, that's typically a man thing. You know, I believe it's just as prevalent in women as it is in men. But, you know, the whole emotion thing. And we live our lives, we can live our lives without ever experiencing the deep emotions of God. Because we think that we never will get there. We think that it's not possible. We think that the way that we're living now is the way that we have to live until the day that we die. But it's not true, it's a lie. That is a lie. God can break down that emotional dam that's in your heart. And He did that for me that day. And this intensity of emotion began to well up in my heart. And I had to, since I didn't know what was happening, I was trying to keep it in. But I was bearing down as hard as I possibly could. And there was this wail coming out of my mouth as the bondage was broken. And as I began to feel again for what felt like the first time, I remember from that point on, I began to really, truly feel again. Even sorrow and sad things, I began to feel. And it felt like I was birthed again. It felt like I was brand new. It felt like I was a new creation, and I was. I was becoming a new creation. The old man was being put to death. The flesh was being mortified. I was becoming brand new, a brand new baby in the Lord. And He was teaching me how to feel, and He was showing me different emotions. And He was saying, this is okay. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to show emotion. It's okay not to be the rock, because I'm your rock. And so I got involved in that deliverance ministry, and I began to operate in inner healing and deliverance. I began to learn about that again. I learned a lot of wrong things, too. I learned a lot of right things. You know, the Lord teaches you what's true. And I didn't do everything right. But I came out of that with so much better off, so much more informed, so much more learned, so much more revelation about the enemy and how He grasps people's hearts and how He holds on, and then how we get free about repentance and about the power of the blood of Jesus. How our weapons are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. They are not carnal. And once you know, when you start to get free in your life, because of all the ungodliness that we've built up around us, because of all the ungodliness that has been involved, had been involved in my life for 26 years, the pruning was incredibly painful. As the Lord began to rip out of my life the things that were not of Him, and every time I said yes, it was painful when He ripped it out. And pornography began to go away in my life. I was delivered from pornography. I was delivered from gambling as I replaced self-validation with sonship. And my heart began to get filled with the love, the mighty, passionate, desperate love of Jesus in my life. And I made the choices to put away these things. And it was right around this time that I was hurt in the greatest way I could possibly ever be hurt. You know, as Job said, the things I fear the most have come upon me. The thing I fear the most has already come upon me. What do I have left to be afraid of? You know, unfaithfulness was the thing that I was most afraid of. And I remember saying I had another appointment every now and then in that deliverance ministry. I remember saying in one of those appointments that if Kara cheated on me, it would be my fault. I remember saying that. That's the way I felt. For all those years, I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to receive love. The unloving bondage in me was so deep and was so entrenched in me. I didn't know how to receive it. I didn't know how to show it. I didn't understand it at all. And I remember saying, if she cheated on me, it would be my fault. And that was important in my journey because the Lord used that to show me, no, it is not your fault. We are all responsible for the choices that we make. You had issues, and you have issues in your life now. Amazing. So does she. You have issues in your life. So does your spouse. So do the people around you. We are not responsible for the choices that people make. And it was important for me to understand that, so I didn't blame myself for what was going to come out a couple months later. The Lord had begun to show me tools about a year prior to Kara's confession that I would use through the strength of Jesus to survive. The Lord prepares us for our future. The Lord shows us the things that we need to survive and live along the way. For the things that the enemy throws at us over the course of our lives, if we say yes to our time of preparation, we will live when the trials come. If we trust in His love for us and respond to the things that He's trying to do in our lives while there's no tribulation, if we can just say yes in those times, when the tribulation comes, we will survive and we will live and we will make it. And it's not easy. It's not easy to say yes, because when you're in the situation, when you're in the pit, all you're looking at is forward and there's a wall there. It's like when the spies went into the land of Canaan, all they saw were all except two. Joshua and Caleb saw the giants, and they couldn't see past the giants. They couldn't see past the giants into the land that the Lord wanted them to possess. And it's the same thing when we're faced with our own giants. We can't see through it. We need the hope of the Lord. We need the hope. We need the encouragement of the Lord to be able to see the very next step, because though we can't see the finish line at that point, we cannot see the finish line. I could not see two steps in front of me, but the Lord would allow me to see one step in front of me. And it took courage to walk that step. I heard somebody say earlier this year that 2011 We should pray for breakthrough and courage in our hearts. The Lord said to Joshua, take great courage. Why? Because we need courage to face the giants and mountains in our life. And He is faithful and He is just. And He will give you that courage. But we have to take the step. But before we take the step, what enables us to take the step is the trust and reliance on His love for us that says when we take that step, that He will be there to catch us. That night that Kara confessed, I heard the enemy say to me, see what happens when you walk the path of God. See what happens in your life. See what I do to you. We take steps in the Lord, especially in the beginning. Get ready. There's a positive in that, get ready. Because in the midst of that night, even though everything in me, my flesh saying, I don't want to do, I remember Richard, who had come over that night, he said, do you want to hear what the Lord says? I said, no. I don't want to hear what the Lord has to say about this situation because I know that the Lord is going to ask me to do something that I don't want to do. So I sat there, no. I would, never mind, I was absolutely devastated and destroyed. Everything that I had known in my life, every single thing that I had elevated in my life had come crashing down in a second. I had been reduced to rubble. Everything that I had built on sand had now been destroyed by a hurricane. And so finally through a special dose of the Holy Spirit, I said, okay. Because the Holy Spirit just gives you enough to be able to make that decision. He'll always give you a choice. There's people that say, I didn't have a choice. You always have a choice. It's too painful. It is very painful. But you have a choice.
I want to share during that time, because he might not share because it might seem like elevating himself, but I want to say that when he made that choice, I went into the room because Richard left and I'm freaking out a little bit. And he's like, you need to go in there. The Holy Spirit is saying, you need to go in there. So I'm like, okay. So I followed him in there and he had kind of been collapsed against the wall in this process of, am I going to listen to the Lord or not? And I saw just the change come over him, the change from anger and bitterness and hate and just, I mean, murderous looks, you know, which is normal. And I saw that look change. I saw the Holy Spirit come over him. It was so visible. And it changed from those looks to a look of compassion and love and acceptance and forgiveness. And at that point is when he opened his arms up to me. Well, I'm begging him to stay and telling him I'll do anything. You know, we can move to Alaska. And for me, that's huge because I didn't ever want to move out of Florida. Like, whatever it takes. You know, to make it work, I'll do it. And he just opened up his arms to me and told me he wanted me to forgive myself the very night that I confessed. And just held me and told me that he chose to forgive me. And like I said, it was a journey from then, but that's what the Holy Spirit does.
The reality of that night was that there were about 2 minutes out of that night, probably, that I was operating in the Holy Spirit, not in the flesh. Probably about 2 minutes.
It's a good 2 minutes, though.
That 2 minutes was the opportunity that I needed to take. That 2 minutes was the moment that, you know, it would be just a lie to tell you that everything was healed that night, because I don't think any of you expect that. But that 2 minutes was the turning point and the moment that God set us on the path to restoration. That 2 minutes was the time when God took us and I said, I choose to forgive you. There was nothing in me that wanted to say those words. Nothing in me that wanted to, you know, be other than that 2 minutes. Nothing in me that wanted to hold her. Nothing in me that wanted to tell her that she had to forgive herself. That was totally the anointing of the Holy Spirit that had come forward in that point by me saying, yes, okay, I'm ready to hear you. And so I said those things, and she had said, I'll do whatever you want, we can move. You know, we can go wherever you want to go, we can start over, we can move, do all these things. And I said, I just I want you to forgive yourself. If you're going to do one thing through this whole thing, you've got to forgive yourself. And so Richard left. He said, I know you're going to walk through this good. So what does that mean? And he goes, I said, thanks, bye-bye. And so I left that night. I went to my parents' house. And I was talking to my parents, and I was telling them what had happened, and they were nothing but, you know, when you share something like that with other people, you want them to be on your side, and you want them to say, I can't believe she did this, and, you know, we'll get her. And they said, we love her. I said, what? I'm your son. You will feel what I feel. They did feel what I felt. My dad, through my entire healing process and into today, my dad has been a rock-solid vessel of the Holy Spirit that has spoken the words that I needed to hear at exactly the right time. There's been nobody through this process that the Lord has used more in a greater way than my dad in the situation. Besides you. Yeah. You got it? You get it? All right. So I went to my parents' house that night, and I stayed there, and I said, I can leave. I was looking at my dad, I said, I can leave. I don't have to stay. I have biblical precedence, you know, like calling out a case like I'm in court. There's a judge there. I call it a case of Jesus and Matthew. And Jesus said I could leave. My dad said, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. Or he didn't. Okay, you're the pastor. And he said, because the message of the gospel is one of reconciliation, not separation. The message of the gospel is of restoration, not separation, not divorce. Like Patty said, there are times that things are irreconcilable, but things become irreconcilable because of people's resistance to being transformed, people's resistance to repentance. If two people are coming with, like she said, 90-10 or 99-1, then you have what you need to begin the path back. And so my parents took the kids, and that weekend we went and saw the ministry that I had been a part of. And there's some interesting things that came out in that appointment. One was, you know, God, it doesn't matter really what you're going through, what tragedies are in your life. The Lord is so gentle. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, David said, shout out my iniquities to me, shout out the things that, you know, show me the things that are in my heart that you want to deal with. And the thing about God is that He wants to do that because even greater than His desire for us to not suffer, because that's His heart, God doesn't want us to suffer. God doesn't want us to be in pain. God doesn't want us to, it says He has all of our tears in a bottle. God loves us. He doesn't want horrible, tragic things to happen to us. But even more than that, He wants us to be more like Jesus. Even more than that, His desire is for us to be more like Jesus. And so He will use those things. He will use those to extract incomprehensible good out of horrible tragedy. And if we listen, He will gently show us what is wrong in our hearts. It's not just a one-sided thing. It wasn't all about her from that point. And in that first appointment, a spirit of intimidation was called out in me. And if I thought I wailed before, holy cow, the rafters shook when this thing came out. It came from the depth of who I, so deeply inside of me, it was so rooted in there. And when it came out, it came out the wail. I guess that's all I can say. And emotion, and put me down on the floor, and you know, everything's come out of my face, like, laying on the floor. Is it gone? Meanwhile, Kara's over there. One incredibly important thing that I learned about deliverance was that the Lord wants us to fight when it's just us and Him. Not in every Tuesday, not on every Wednesday, weekly appointments. When we're by ourselves, when we're one-on-one with the Lord, and the Lord begins to reveal things inside of us, our first step, I mean, unless we don't know how to approach it, we need help, we need guidance. But what I believe the Lord ultimately wants us to become is a people who can fight, stand up on our own two feet, and fight our enemy. That our first phone call shouldn't be to somebody else, but our first response should be to assault the enemy. And so there were a lot of things from that point on in our journey of restoration and redemption that the Lord cleared out of us when it was just me and her, and even just me. And the Lord began to show me things, and speaking through different people, revealing things that were in my heart that I needed to die. One of them was self-righteousness. And my dad told me, you're not perfect, you know. And it was about that time that I was complaining about something about her. And I said, no, you got this all wrong. I said, I didn't call you to talk about me. I called you to talk about her. And he said, you're not perfect. I mean, you got your own issues. I mean, and through that, the Lord showed me self-righteousness. And the Lord showed me every ugly word that I had said to her along the way. And I went from that point, talking to my dad, I went to the gym where she was working, watching kids at, and I began to repent to her right there in the nursery in the gym. And I repented her for self-righteousness and for elevating myself and thinking that I was on the moral high horse. That's what he said to me. He said, you're not on the moral high horse. He said, you don't have any right to the moral high ground here. I said, yes, I do. I didn't say that to him. I said that in my heart. I said, yes, I do. But isn't that, you know, when there's an injustice against us, we go ahead and it's like we're playing King of the Mountain. And we want to push everybody else off. We want to push off the person that offended us, and we want to set ourselves up and put our flag right on top and say, I have conquered the moral high ground. There's nobody else up here there's nobody that belongs up here. It's me. I have it. I'm righteous. Holy. And so these are the kinds of things that the Lord began to wean out of my heart at different times. And it was through, I don't know that the Lord showed me these things in times other than the times that my heart was bleeding on the table, suffering the attacks of the enemy, going to the pit of despair, hopelessness, and the Lord giving me the strength to take another step forward and to see some things that were ungodly in my own heart. It was like that. It was a journey like that. It was a journey of me having a good day and feeling encouraged and strengthened, and the next day laying face down on the floor sobbing uncontrollably. When I think back, when I consider the time that the Lord took with me before what came out, before she confessed, and how He had prepared me for that, there's such love in that. He took the time to teach me the things that I would need to have a chance. And He wants to do the same thing for each one of you. There's such love and mercy in that. He doesn't just take you and throw you to the wolves and say, there you go, deal with it yourself. He sends you into battle with every opportunity to equip yourself, to be equipped for what you come up against. Our story is a story of terrible pain and tragedy. Also, it's a story of incredible hope. Marriages and families and individuals who are going through things that they don't know how to get out of. They don't know how to take one step in front of the other. And the enemy will come in those times and he will try to kill you. He tried to kill me. I had lots of suicide in that pit. I'm a firefighter paramedic at home. A couple months after that, had a 3-year-old die in my arms. A month or so after that, the pastor of the church that we're going to went to the elders and tried to have me kicked out of the church. And he brings, it's like this analogy that I had heard one time. We see an ant crawling across the table. We can take our thumb and squish the ant. But Satan will blow up the entire building, kill that ant. So he'll bring whatever he can against us during those times. And something that I've come to understand is that without Jesus, without His strength, I don't have a chance. I don't have a chance. I would have been dead. Well, without Christ, we are dead. There is no possible way I can stand up to an enemy, the enemy, without Christ. I will be defeated every single time. And there's humility in that. There's humility in looking at something and saying I'm powerless against it. I'm totally 100% dependent upon Daddy. It was prophesied over me prior to this event that that the Lord would show me who He is in such an intimate way that I had no idea how intimate He was going to reveal Himself to me. And He did that for me. There were times when I didn't have the strength to take one step forward. And He picked me up and He carried me. That's your Daddy. That's your Daddy. He will carry you. He will ask you to stand on your own 2 feet. There are times, if your heart is for Him, He will carry you. He will lift you up. His wings like an eagle. And carry you to a point. Here you go. My son. My daughter. This is who I am. This is my love for you. Before anybody ever does anything against you, first they do it against the Lord. One of the most powerful things that the Lord told me during this time was that He was betrayed before I was. Part of the enemy's scheme when we go through these things is to make us think that we're alone. We're the only ones going through what we're going through. But there's nobody else that can know. There's nobody else that feels what I feel. There's nobody else that experiences what I experience. And it was in that time when I was feeling that way, Jesus came and He said to me, before she hurt you, she hurt me. That was so critical to me. Before my Savior, the lover of my soul, knows exactly how I'm feeling. Knows exactly what I was going through, and it was exactly how I was hurting. 9 months is what the time period was to end my trips to the pit. 9-month period. It's a birthing. I didn't get that right away. Somebody said that to us. In an interview, no less, they said, that's how long it takes to birth a child. You're right. Wow. I'm using that. Is everybody in here knows what pain feels like? Everybody in here has experienced the pit. Many people in here right now that are in the pit. There's people in here right now that are holding on by a thread. I was holding on by a thread. I said to Carol one night, I said, would it just be easier for us just to go our separate ways? Just to end it? Just to go on with our lives? What did you say? Remember?
I think that I said at that time that it probably would seem easier at the time, but then down the road, it would be obviously worse.
Yeah, and I think you said that we trust in the Lord. If we rely on the Lord, He's going to do a restorative work in our lives. And I needed that from her because it was a time when I was holding on by a thread. She was able to come up and be a rock in that time. I needed that. I needed her to be that. I discovered many times along the way that I needed her to be that for me. We dealt a lot with bitterness. The Lord peeled back layers like an onion. Bitterness and unforgiveness. Fear. About everything that you can imagine, and I'm sure there's more that He wants to deal with. There is more. I don't even have to wonder about that. There is more that He wants to deal with as He continues to purify us and bind us together in His love.
There's a lot of stuff that you can get from our testimony and that God has shown us. But I really feel like what God has laid on my heart, we had no expectations coming here. We just wanted to come for this time and just share a story with you all. But what God is really laying on my heart through our story for this time is one that we all have a choice to make. When God showed me that I needed to confess or I couldn't move forward, He said, this is what you need to do or what you should do, but He gave me the choice. I didn't have to. And I said, well, God, I could lose my husband, I could lose my kids. You know, your mind goes to the very extreme of what could happen, the worst case scenario. And I was thinking, I could lose my husband, he could take my kids somehow, my family could turn their backs on me, my friends, everybody, I could lose it all. And God said, you're right, you could. He gave me no guarantees of Jesse staying or of keeping my kids or that my family or friends wouldn't turn their back on me. He didn't give me that. He said, that might happen, but if it does, will I be enough for you? And it's in those places, in those times, that if we can look at God and say, God, you'll be enough. If all else fails, you'll be enough. Then He will set us on the path towards His will and towards the promised land. And I just wanted to point that out, that we all have a choice to make. You don't have to say yes to God. You don't have to say yes to transformation. But you'll be stuck if you don't. And there's no hope in that place. You'll stay in the pit. And like it was spoken last night, we'll just dig ourselves deeper, deeper and deeper and deeper. And Satan will just get this foothold that we won't be able to escape from until we say yes to God. Also, I wanted to point out that in both of us, the scheme was similar but manifested in different ways, that we both received our validation from things or people other than God. And when we do that, when we put our hope and expectations completely in humans or in things, we're going to be let down every single time. It doesn't matter how godly or righteous that person is. Every time we'll be let down. The only person 100% worthy of our trust is the Lord. And when we put our trust in the Lord, we won't be let down. Things might not turn out the way we want them to, but it's always ultimately for our good. Have anything to add?
One really important thing that the Lord spoke to me one night, I was at the fire station and was having a really hard time, and the Lord said, or I was saying to the Lord, do I have to stay? Do I have to stay in this marriage? And the Lord said, no, you don't have to stay. I'm asking you to. Are you going to be obedient? I think that a lot of times, I think that there's a lot of people who will survive miserable forever, or live in misery forever. We feel trapped, because we feel that if we get a separation, or if we take a drastic step, then we'll be condemned for the rest of our lives. I'm not advocating separation or divorce. I'm saying there's not freedom in that. It's not freedom. If we stay in a situation because we feel like we have to, there's not freedom in that. And that's what the Lord showed me that night. He said, no, you don't have to. And this weight lifted off of me. I wasn't going to leave. But that lie that the enemy had speaking to me, that said, if you walked out that door, you're walking out of the kingdom forever, was defeated that night. I remember ministering to a lady one time, and I looked at her and said, you don't have to stay. And that was incredibly powerful in her life. She stayed. But not because she was trapped or felt like she didn't have any other choice. There's a peace that breaks off when we step into the freedom of that. And that, it was a chain that broke off of my heart that night. Our testimony is a twofold testimony. The first part of that testimony, you know, our book is back there on the table. It's called Marriage What's the Point? And the book is centered around, the first testimony is how we fall more in love with Jesus. That's what it's about. How do we get free of the things that are on top of our hearts, all the garbage that has been laid on top of our hearts, our inability to trust Him like we know we want to. You know, not like we should. You know, it's like we're trying to measure up to an expectation. It's about our desire. It's about our passion. How do we trust Him like we want to? How do we become intimate with Him like we want to? Because we want to down deep inside. Let's just take that whole should, like we should be off the table, and let's just talk about the passion of our hearts down deep inside. How do we come into revelation of His love that we really want? How do we trust Him as our provider like we really want to be provided for? How do we become secure like we really want to be secured? How do we become accepted like we really want to be accepted? You know, how do we receive His love? But from our end, how do we fall in love with Him like we really want to fall in love with Him? That's the testimony of the book. And then the other testimony is what was restored as a result of that. Because if we change, if we allow God to change our hearts, it's on the inside, it's going to manifest on the outside. If we allow God to transform our hearts, the things on the outside will begin to take care of themselves because we are walking as a new creation. And we don't have to anymore go to try so desperately to perform all of the tools that we got at the last marriage seminar and apply those things every day. I have a checklist. Said, oh, I told my wife I love her today. I washed the car. Took out the trash. We should have a perfect marriage. Our relationship should be perfect. Those things are empty without love behind it. Those things are empty without real, true revelation of His perfect love for us. The love that changes us. The love that that takes us on the path that we're walking and rotates us to the other path that He wants for us. The wide path and then the narrow path. We can't truly live and operate in the perfect love of God while we're walking on the wide path. It just doesn't work. The things that we do out of love turns out to be just selfishness. The things that we thought we were doing out of love was just an attempt to pull in validation and acceptance from our children and our spouses and the family around us. When God changes our hearts, we begin to act differently. When God changes our hearts, we begin that begins to manifest on the outside. The love that He does on the inside, the blocks that He tears down, it begins to come out. And our spouses go, who is that person? Or our families go, who is that person? Or our kids go, I don't even know you anymore, but I like you. For maybe the first time. Pray as you feel led to pray with everybody. Just whatever comes with things in your heart.
Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, and we just thank You, Lord, for this time of sharing and the ability to be transparent and to open our lives to other people. God, I pray that seeds were sown here today, Lord, but whatever it is that each individual needed to hear from our testimony, God, that it was heard, that it's received, and that You would water it. Father, I pray, God, that Your heart would be made manifest in each individual, God, that people would this week, maybe even for the first time, fall in love with You or fall back in love with You if they've strayed from You. Lord, we pray that through that and through that alone, through Your love, God, that relationships would be restored, that forgiveness would happen for others and for ourselves. Lord, that bondages and strongholds would be broken and severed for good, Lord, that they wouldn't come back, that it wouldn't be a cycle, that it would be done and over with in the name of Jesus.
If you feel like the Lord wants to minister to you during this time, we invite you to stay, and we're gonna minister as the Lord leads. And we love you guys.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.